I guess this time of year is often a time of reflection, and whether we do it or not, that's what's out there, isn't it? It's a time to think about what's going on and looking forward and thinking about what we might want to achieve and what God might want me to achieve. And as I was thinking about this, I was looking back at a few things that I've done in the past and looked back at the Guided by the Cloud that we produced. I think it was the 2021 one, I can't remember. But on that, there were some statements that I just wanted to share with you before I start the talk proper, that they came from Tear Fund, but I thought they were good, and I thought it'd be good to remind ourselves of these things at this time of year. So there are a few things about God. So God is in control. And just really just to spend a moment to look at these and to think about what they might mean to you now, how it makes you feel. I'm not going to do any major discussion about them. In his hands is the life of every creature and the breath of all mankind. The next one is this. God never changes. And from Malachi, I, the Lord, do not change. So you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. The next one. God is good. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. I've got the next one tucked in there as well. Didn't get it onto the right bits. So the next one, God is faithful and keeps all of his promises. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Again, from the Psalms. And the last one, God is with us and for us. The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. And as I say, there on one of the Guided by Clouds, if you still have your collection somewhere, then or you can find them hidden away in an email somewhere. But anyway, I just thought it was good to remember those sorts of things. Now, I don't know whether you are a person who makes New Year's resolutions. Try a question again. Shall I? Anybody made a New Year's resolution? No, excellent. Nor have I. did we have one? I'll leave it to you. I haven't. I don't tend to, but it is, as I said at the beginning, it is a time of people setting goals, isn't it? And I don't know what your social media feeds are like, if you have one, but mine is full of diets and exercise and all those sorts of things that I should be doing now, but I'm probably not, not yet anyway. Might make a bit of an effort, but I was wondering about if we ask Jesus to give us a New Year's resolution, what would he give us? What would he say to us this morning as a New Year's resolution? Maybe for this year, I mean, when we look at it, it's one that just goes on and on and on and on. And the one that I'm going to just think about for a little while this morning is this. From Mark. And sorry, the Bible didn't get put out this morning. I realised just as I was starting to lead worship, so I wasn't going to do it then. But it's okay, it's up there. It'll stay up there. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." "Well said, teacher," the man replied. "You are right in saying that God is one and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions. So I guess from this passage, we can see that God wants us to love him, doesn't he? That's basically what he's saying there. And by doing that, we can draw closer to God. And hopefully, as we do that, spread that love of God and have more of an influence on those around us. So if we look at this as a resolution of what Jesus has given us, what could we think about for those different parts? First of all, God is saying that he wants us to love him with everything inside us. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. And with all your heart is really about loving God passionately, isn't it? And when we are passionate about something, it drives us, doesn't it? It drives people that are passionate about things. It defines how they live. It has an impact on the day-to-day life, and a lot of the decisions that people make might be around that passion that they have. And I guess for many people in this country, that passion is around what would we say? Football? But sport in general, isn't it? That a lot of people are passionate about following a particular team, maybe a particular person, and that defines them as a group. It brings them together with a shared purpose. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to have a passion for him, a passion that defines our lives, that brings us together with the same purpose. And we're to live according to knowing what will honour him. So when we have that passion, it's about knowing what pleases Jesus and living lives that honour him. It's about thinking about what Jesus's agenda is instead of our own. And we're to live our lives in a way that reflects what God's principles are, what his priorities are, rather than the principles and society and priorities of society. And that's what Jesus is saying about loving God passionately. And to do it, we've got to be involved with God. We've got to listen to what he's saying. The first bit of that verse is, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God." He wants us to listen to what he's saying to him. Spend time finding out more about him. That might be through Bible reading, it might be through prayer, it might be through worship. But we open up those lines of communication to God so that we can develop that passion for him that we might have. Secondly, God wants to love him intellectually, I guess, with our brains. It says, and with all your mind. And this is, I guess, about loving him thoughtfully. Loving God with all our minds implies that we're centering our thoughts on him. We're learning, we're growing in our capacity to fathom out the vastness of God and the mystery of God. And we're studying him more. We're taking in more of his power, his love, his grace, his beauty. And we do that through the things that we see around us, as well as what we might read. I don't know whether any of you saw some of those amazing pictures that the space telescopes have been showing. They were on the BBC, I think, at some point over Christmas. Some of these amazing photographs that they're taking of deep space now. And that's all in the hands of our Creator, isn't it? That goes on. There's an interesting discussion on Jeremy Vine as I was driving on Friday. That he had this scientist guy in who says, "I'll answer any question." And it was interesting because Jeremy Vine said to him, "Well, how come a lot of scientists believe in God? How is that possible?" And this guy was saying, "Well, if somebody, you know, if you make something, you give it order, you give it structure and that sort of thing." So he was using that as, you know, if somebody was going to make it, then they would put order, they would put rules, they would put structure for life to be able to exist, which I thought was an interesting response on national radio. That he wasn't saying, "No, God doesn't exist." He was saying, "Well, if there was a God, this is what he would do. And this is how he would do it. And that's how it is." So he didn't say whether he believed or not, but he sounded as though he might have done. So we need to learn all we can about Jesus and learn about what he has to say about the situations we find ourselves in. It's about having a bit of an intellectual interaction with God. And of those two, sort of loving him passionately and loving him intellectually, we'll probably favour one of those things. We're probably more comfortable with doing that in one way or another. But we need to operate in both of those areas. And often when we operate in ones that we're not really that confident of, then that may bring more results for us, greater results for us, because we're being more challenged. And I guess one of the ways to interact more intellectually with God is to read our Bibles more, to study our Bibles more deeply, to think about what is being said through what we see in there. And then, thirdly, God wants us to love him with our gifts and abilities. And this is the "with all your strength" bit. He wants us to use the talents, the spiritual gifts, maybe the influence, maybe the finances, whatever it is that he's given us. And this is about loving him practically. He didn't just give us those things for our own enrichment. He gave them to us so that we could advance his kingdom. We could use those gifts and those talents. So we need to perhaps reflect on what gifts and talents we've been given. We are, as we see from the news, in a time where there is a great deal of need around us. Even in this locality, there is need around us that we could perhaps get involved in and think about what we could offer, how we could use those gifts and talents. And they're not amazing things. They're things like listening to somebody, hospitality, caring, organisation. Maybe we're good at organising things and we can help people with that. Maybe it's leadership, maybe it's service. But there's lots of things, lots of gifts and talents that God gives us that we can use. So we're to love God with everything inside us. We're to love him with our brains, and we're to love him with our gifts and abilities. And then in verse 31, God says he wants us to love him by loving others. Love your neighbour as yourself. And this is about loving God socially, isn't it? Our faith in Jesus should spill out into our relationships with other people. We're not supposed to hoard and hang on to the good news of Jesus as though it's our own special little present. We're supposed to share that and to do good for others in his name. We might not be an extroverted social butterfly flitting around from person to person, but we can still touch the lives of other people with the love of Jesus. As I said, listening, offering to do something for somebody. Our actions should speak louder than words. But we should be doing it because of our love for Jesus and because he loves everyone, not just nice people. Sean Clifford gave me a postcard when he came round at some point over Christmas, which said, "Be nice to unkind people, they need it most." Which I thought was quite interesting. So I was very kind to him. And it reminded me, this little bit reminded me of Francis of Assisi's quote, which is one of my favourite ones, which I'm sure you all remember as well, which is, "Do all you can to preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words." And it's about doing things that show God's love. So, in conclusion, it's often easy, isn't it, when we look back at the year, that we think of things perhaps we didn't get done or we didn't do very well, or things we failed at, things that we could do better at. And that's okay, as long as we look at the good things as well. But we need to remember that today is a new day. And this is the start of a new year. And the great thing with God is that we can begin again at any time. And what we don't have to do is think, "Oh, I've got all of those things that I've got to try and do." We're not expected to do absolutely everything. And if we do try to do absolutely everything, we probably won't do it very well. So maybe there's a few things, one or two things, that we can focus on this year. And we need to remember that it doesn't matter if we fail, because through God's mercy and through his forgiveness, we can just start again. And finally, just look at the last little bit that there is up there that says, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And Jesus says that to all of us. And what he said to us was that unless a person was born again, he couldn't get into heaven. So unless that person understands and believes that Jesus died for their sins and rose from the grave, and unless we completely put our trust in him for that forgiveness, then we don't get in. But it's not a difficult thing to do in one sense, is it? But it can also be the hardest thing to do, to accept Jesus. So maybe our resolution this year should simply be to love the Lord our God with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our mind and with all our strength. We have a foundation in God, which means we can look ahead to next year and bring to him our hopes and our dreams. We can pray for ourselves, our families, our friends, our church, our neighbourhood, our world. And as we're doing that, we can listen to what God's saying to us about it. So we're just going to have a moment or two to reflect on what I've said, to reflect on what we might be thinking about for 2024. What we might want to achieve as an individual, as a group, as a church. And how we can go about doing that with God's help. And also think about how we can share that love that God has for us. So we'll take a moment or two just to reflect, and if people want to pray out loud, then they can. I know Hazel's going to read something, but if other people want to pray as well, then please do. We'll just take a few moments.